Hello and welcome to ATN World News. I'm Leah, and it's great to be with you, the viewers all around the world. Today, we are so thrilled to have back with us again Brian Duncan. And Brian has been one of the defining voices of contemporary Christian music for some time now. He began in the early 70s with the Sweet Comfort Band, and that was before he was embarking on his own very successful solo career. Brian is a four-time Dove Award winner with more than a dozen number one hit singles, and he has been involved with a weekly radio program called Radio Rehab, which is a mix of music and insight. With all that, I say good morning, Brian.
Well, it's good to be back with you. Thanks for having me over again.
Oh, man, it's just wonderful to have you with us. And people, go to our website, YouTube, Bridington, Vimeo. Go to our other video sites and listen to a radio broadcast I did with Brian a few years ago. He was stunningly honest, and he has such humor, and it's just a great interview. Go and listen to that. I was talking with Brian, and he said, hey, you know, I have a great topic that I'd like to speak on, so timely for today. Brian, I'm going to throw it to you.
Just like that? Wow, where am I going to start? Last year was maybe the worst year of my life. I cannot remember having more tragedies in a single year in a row. I lost two friends to cancer. I lost my best friend on a motorcycle in an accident several days after the accident. He passed away rather suddenly. I was at a concert, and I was going to call him from the stage and actually have the band play something for him while he was in the hospital. And I just talked to him the day before, and he was already up complaining about wanting to get out of the hospital. And so I thought everything was going to proceed like always. And the last thing I said to him was, hey, I'll see you on Monday, and I'll call you tomorrow night. Well, about 10 minutes before I called, he died of a pulmonary embolism. It was completely unexpected, and my life came to a grinding halt at that point. Hearing my wife's voice over the phone saying, James died. I can't remember anything for several hours after that. And I, all of the things that I believed all my life, you know, suddenly just kind of fell away. And I wasn't sure what I was going to hang on to. I really didn't. And here's where I started to realize that even as a believer in Jesus and a follower in Christianity, a lot of my answers are cut and paste until we meet them face to face. The issues ahead of us, and every tragedy in your life comes a point where you have to really check on what you actually believe. It's easy to say the things that we believe and pontificate. You can even come up with great arguments for what you believe and how you're right and nobody else is. But when the rubber meets the road, where faith has to be applied and there's nothing else you can do, I found myself on really shaky ground. You know, the Bible says that believers are the salt of the earth. So prepare to be shaken. That's how salt gets spread around. And I started to look at my life in a different way because of tragedy and hardship. Number one, I wasn't expecting to be injured like this. And you kind of think that if you know God personally, that somehow you're going to avoid. But that isn't always the case. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So after he passed away, I also lost my mother last year in September. I started to have to realize I'm going to have to take notes on what I'm doing and become an observer of hardship and suffering. You know, it's not easy to accept those kind of things, but I started taking notes on it, and I wrote some really great things from a writer by the name of Oswald Chambers. He has a devotional out called My Utmost for His Highest. And he said, to question why God allows suffering is kind of a mute point, because it simply is. There's no point in bringing up why God should allow it. It makes you look kind of stupid at some point, questioning God's authority. So I started to realize, the further I read into that, Oswald Chambers also said, suffering removes a great deal of shallowness. And that was the beginning of what I understood about how shallow my faith was, how it hadn't really been tested. And here's where I started to understand that I have a lot more learning to do, and I don't have all the answers. No matter how much I cut and paste, I still have to apply faith. My wife eventually told me, says, if you're going to live by faith, you're going to have to do without some understanding. You're going to walk through periods of time where you don't feel anything, that you have to trust that there is a God and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I also went through a time with my wife where we didn't know what was wrong with her either. This was just last year. We went to 9 professionals and nobody could figure out what the problem was. She'd lost 30 pounds in a month, wasn't eating. I finally took her to emergency room because I really felt like she was going to die, because she was getting this electric shock every time she would swallow. We went and sat in an emergency room because we could not get an appointment with a specialist that we needed. We sat there for 15 hours in little plastic chairs in the emergency room. And I'll tell you, the emergency room will ruin your faith in humanity sometimes. But for 15 hours, we sat there and I thought to myself about all the money I have and the house and the cars and the people I know and my prestigious background and history. And none of it mattered. None of it could fix the problem that we were in. It was just me and my wife in 2 plastic chairs. Unbelievable. And I realized then why I follow Jesus. You have to believe in God, that he has a plan for your life and that he is a deliverer, because at some point you will reach a point where there is nothing within your control. That's where faith really starts. And so you combine all of those things from last year and you have just the worst beating I've ever taken in the name of faith. And realizing that we all face adversities and unknown futures. We can't plan and we can't make an appointment for when we're not going to be here. So at the end of my year, I started to realize that one of the best things about why God allows suffering is that it creates a bond between us that nothing else will. Hardship is something that makes you feel closer to someone than going to Disneyland. You might have a good time, but when you have survived something and suffered through something with a friend or a family member or a loved one, there's a closeness that can't be purchased in any other way. And there's a reaching out for God that doesn't seem to get our attention in any other way. Suffering will unite those of us who survive, and God knows those who he takes home through tragedy and hardship. And there's that other thing that we have to believe too. Is there an eternity? Jesus promised it. He promised that there was an eternity, that you would not perish, but that you would have everlasting life. I started to realize that I'm not sure if I believe that. With every funeral I attended last year, I had to question my own faith about what I believe. Does God really exist? Does he intervene in our lives? And does he promise eternal life? I have to believe those things by faith. You know, none of us can prove it. But I know one thing, that suffering and hardship are things that unite us. They bring us closer together. They force us to look beyond ourselves for help. And I think that that's why God allows so much of it in this world.
Thank you, Brian, for those words of wisdom. And people, I really was thrilled to hear that Brian was going to speak on the topic of pain and suffering. And I just didn't know it was going to be so much of his personal life. And but that's the kind of guy he is. You know, he'll tell you what he's going through. And we need to lift up our brother here in prayer and pray for him and pray for his family and pray for his wife. And remember him in your prayers when you listen to his fabulous music. You know, I feel strongly to say that my personal opinion anyway, not judging anybody else, is that we're living in the end of days before Christ's return, when the Lord said things would get a lot worse before his return. And I go down Facebook homepage, and I see so many posts for urgent prayer of unfathomable things. Their granddaughter got hit by somebody texting and driving, and they're on life support. I mean, there's just, I mean, things that are so heinous, the worst of the worst. And people who know me personally know I'm a chronic pain sufferer. I have my own problems. But we need to reach out to one another and be there and pray and offer prayer. Because sometimes people's families aren't always there, and they'll need a spiritual family. And so listen, I pray that this broadcast bless so many people today and comfort you and encourage you in Christ. It won't be much longer. God has promised us an incredible eternity with him in paradise, where you will see your loved ones again that were in Christ. And Brian, I want to thank you so much for taking of your time and being very personal and sharing with our followers today.
You bet. Nice talking to you again.
And until next time, I'm Leah reminding you that God loves you.